to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney, Catherine, and then I said, no, she likes to be called Kathy. Meg Pearson, how are you today, darling?
I'm good.
Yeah, life is good to you?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I love that. I am so excited to have you here on the Edge. We've been waiting. And where are you at in Canada again?
I live 2 hours north of Toronto.
Toronto. Okay. All right. So you're on the eastern side of Canada.
Yeah, in Ontario. Yeah.
Yeah. I was, worked in Canada for a long time. They had me humping from one end to the other, all the way from Toronto to Banff. And even a stop in Kamloop. Does anybody go to Kamloop anymore? But Toronto is pretty busy. You know, Toronto is the hot spot. A lot of entertainment, a lot of films are being made in Toronto now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
When I grew up, it was like, I grew up in Western Canada. So Toronto was like the evil big city. And then I ended up getting a job there when we moved back here. And it's now I would do anything to live where I used to live and walk those same streets. And
so where did you live? Like Calgary? Where were you at?
So I grew up in a small town, in between Calgary and Red Deer in Alberta.
Okay.
Yeah, a small Bible school town.
Oh, hallelujah. So we are going to have a very spirited conversation, Brains. Look at who's come to visit us all the way from Canada with her overalls on, looking just as cute and happy as she can be. This is, again, Catherine or Kathy McPherson. And we're going to talk about her support of women healing from trauma and loss and betrayal. Now, who on the planet has not been traumatized, experienced some sort of loss, or been betrayed? Okay, but we're going to focus on women right now because it seems like it's harder for us to heal. We suppress so much. But to be able to release that suppression, we do it with poetry. And she is an amazing poet. I went to your site and you have one, we'll talk about it offline, that just really resonated in my heart. And it was right where I needed to be. She's got a great course too. That she's teaching, and on her website it says a journey back home to yourself, because we get lost, Brains. We get lost. Tell us a little bit about your story, Kathy.
Well, I was raised, like I said, at a Bible school, but it was probably more like a cult, and there was trauma to do with religion, so religious abuse, I would say. I don't know if any of the Brains are familiar with the movie called The Thief in the Night, but that was a regular movie that we had to watch, and it was terrifying. So the God being our Heavenly Father was not a concept any of us could relate to, because our fathers were in my home. It was pretty strict in my home. So
Let me interject here, because I just kind of want to color in all the white spaces. Okay, so you say strict in your home. How many siblings were there?
There's 4 kids.
Oh, wow.
So I had one sister 1 year older, one brother 1 year younger, and I have a little sister 8 years younger than me.
And everybody pretty much was subjected to the same type of trauma?
Not my little sister. However, she had her own story, which I'm only just getting in touch with now. Very interesting. Yeah.
So how people can live in the same house and have such different experiences.
I've been blown away. And I'm telling, just in this last week has she shared with me her story.
Really?
So this is like recent and just like, yeah. So, yeah. So when I was 8, she was born, my father came home with a horsewhip, and that was a tool he was going to use to discipline his children. So I was raised with a horsewhip.
Yeah. A horsewhip. He hit you with that?
Oh, yeah. Till I was 17. Yeah.
And I thought a switch was bad. You know, grandma would say, okay, now you didn't act a fool. Go outside and give me a switch. You send me outside to get my own thing to whip me with. All right, so I'm sorry, because, you know, this story is ever unfolding. Okay, so continue to.
So that was how I was raised. So just being very terrified pretty much 100% of the time, which is trauma. I mean, it's called complex PTSD when you're raised in a home where there is this fear 100% of the time. And so then when I was 17, my sister, who was 1 year older, she got a disease called lupus, and she was given 10 years to live. And so my little sister, just sharing her story, said that was her whole life. Like, she didn't get the growing up years and the friendship with my older sister. She only knew my sister being sick. And so my sister was very sick for 10 years.
Yeah, lupus is, that lupus is a cold thing. I'm going to have a gentleman on talking about lupus. Is it like a cancer of the blood?
It's no.
An autoimmune disease.
Yes, it's your organs, like you're fighting your own body. And so she ended up with a kidney transplant, and there's five different kinds, and she had all five. So she kind of made it to the textbooks. And at that time, the doctor said, we have no cure. So my mom took her to some hospital in Arizona and, you know, just trying to save her daughter, you know, it's what.
And in the background, you're being tormented by the father.
Yes, and trying to make it through high school and feeling like my sister was my rock. Like, we have been together lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And so she was my big sister. So suddenly having her taken out of my bedroom and onto the living room couch, and she became the territory of my parents, and just, we lost that. I lost my sister, right? And I was the girls. I don't know if you have a sister, but the girls coming to the dishes, girls, you know, like there wasn't like an identity apart from the two of us. So yeah, it was really difficult for me. I was, it's one thing, I'm now a grief facilitator. It's one of the things we talk about is how you can start to hate that person. And because you just keep mentally preparing yourself to die, for them to die, and then they don't die. So, you know, just all the guilt and the feelings that come with somebody slowly dying in your home. Wow. So
let me ask you another question, because I have another guest that's coming on that was a part of a cult. She just was released from this cult after 30 years. She drives past the house every day, still on her way to work, and she says there's about 40 people there.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't believe it. And when she talks about her captor, this guru, her whole composure changes. The way she looks, her breathing pattern, her eyes, I can see the transformation. That mind control is something else. And, you know, I have guests on the show all the time talking about neuro-linguistic programming and hypnotherapy and energy work and deep diving in the subconscious mind. But there's some things in the subconscious mind that you don't want to stir up.
Yeah.
And there's some things that people can't break through when it comes to trauma.
Yeah.
They're able to level out. They're able to identify with it, but they keep going back to that place. It's like sometimes I'll interview someone and a woman has been sexually assaulted, or she's a victim of domestic abuse. And that's the first thing she says. Hi, I'm Betty. And, you know, I'm a survivor of domestic abuse. How do people move from point A to point B, Kathy?
I call it conditioning. Like, in order to go through your life that way, it's a slow conditioning. And so I believe that we have to recondition ourselves. It's not an overnight process. It's a one step at a time. I've written a course to begin people on the same path that I went on in order to heal. But it's not, although the course is 9 weeks, it's going to be years of one by one. I call it as though we're, I think of each person almost like a fabric. Like imagine each of us are a plaid fabric. And it, we have all these threads going through us, but we don't even know that conditioning. Exactly what you said. Like there's times it's so embedded in us that one by one, we have to like pull out that thread as we come across it and then replace it with something else. And so it is like, it's a reconditioning, a reparenting. Right.
It's a reweaving of your mind.
It is. I'll share a little story. At the beginning of COVID, my parents are still very much in the mind, you know, the religious mindset.
Are they still alive?
Yeah.
Wow.
I phoned up to, you know, and they weren't wearing their masks. And, you know, I was talking to them. So, well, you know, anyways, they believe this is about to be the second coming of Christ. And
I got to believe that too. I agree with them on that. Okay.
Anyways, I went into, you know, I kind of said a few things back to them, and then I went into huge fear afterwards, and I started pacing back and forth, and I knew I was really triggered, but I was like, why am I so triggered? Like, this is crazy. I don't even believe this stuff. I don't believe that God is going to cut. Like, it's a thief in the night story, like where they come and they chop everyone's heads off with guillotines and all this horrible stuff. And, you know, it's like, I don't even believe this anymore. Like, why am I so triggered? I was crying and crying. And my best friend, and she's Hindu, and she's like, Kathy, have you done your inner child work on this? And I never have really understood inner child work, although I've spoken about it forever. And, you know, I've talked about it, or I've said, yeah, inner child work, you know. But finally I sat down and said, okay, whatever this inner child work, what's going, you know, what is this my inner child? And all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, it is. She is terrified. She is so, even though mentally in here, in my brain says, you know, this is, I don't believe this. God is not going to come and cause all my head.
Going to cut it right here. I don't know what happened, Kathy. If you can hear me, we're not stable. There you go.
There we go.
Good. So don't worry about that. I can edit all of that out. That's not a problem. I just want to make
Okay. I was like, oh my.
Oh no. Okay. So where were we at? We were talking
about. I was just going to say about triggers. Someone asked Eckhart Tolle and about will there ever come a day that we don't have triggers anymore? And Eckhart Tolle said, this is in the book A New Earth, he said he believes we will always have triggers, we'll just get to recognize them quicker. And I think that's, you know, I think that's the beauty of it, is that we'll say, oh, it's about that, I don't have to go down the rabbit hole, I know what this is about.
Right.
So, yeah.
But, okay, so you know what it's about, but it's like you're driving through a tunnel, you see a light, but it's a train, you know, it smacks you and slaps you back.
It's not, yeah.
And it takes you right back into that place. And then you're right on the front of that train and it's just pushing you. You know, I never really experienced that type of trauma, that intense. So I empathize with you, but I don't understand how people get beyond it, you know, working with it again, because you were there, you've done some of the inner child work, you experienced it, you identified it, but it still sets you off. So when you get to this place, what do you do to calm yourself down?
I think the first thing, and I teach this in my course, is having community, the power of community. And when we are, when we're raised in abusive situations, we are isolated. We don't have that power of community. And I think finding healthy people to reach out to, like I said, I reach out to my best friend, like something's wrong. Like, and if she's busy, having more than one person on your list that you can reach out to, or finding a Facebook group, or finding your tribe, your people. I read a book by Judith Herman. It's called Trauma and Recovery. Mm-hmm. And she talks about having a society. And this is a book where she compares, I think it's PTSD, like soldiers of war, Holocaust survivors, and then complex PTSD of people growing up in homes, and maybe one more like psychological PTSD. But anyway, what she says is, and you might relate to this, we need to find, like, the society is where you walk in and you don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to justify yourself. So it's that, you know, it's like someone going to an AA meeting, right? That's a society. People get what you're talking about. They know, they've been there, right? And I think that's how we heal, is finding that tribe, finding those people that that we can start breaking down, because in order to survive, we've had to build all these walls around ourselves, right? Like it's only the only way we knew was to don't be vulnerable. I mean, don't show that you need anybody. And so we do need people, and we do need to be vulnerable. It takes courage to be vulnerable. So that's how.
And it takes honesty. But you know, you talk about God, religion, in the third person. Has this trauma turned you away from God and your belief in God? Because again,
No, it hasn't. Nope. Well, it did for a long time. I took the God of the Bible school that I grew up with, and I did it in group coaching. I had a coach or a therapist who helped. We did this called like psychodrama, where you take your, and I wanted to work on my God. So I took my God and I literally threw him in the garbage, because that God, I mean, I was in my 30s, even 40s, terrified to even drive under an underpass, or terrified of a thunderstorm, right? Because that God was out to get me. Like if I had done something wrong, he was going to get me. And it was just like that level of fear. And so then he said, what would a real God look like? And so I had to like really think about like, what would it be, a God who just loved me, who wasn't scary. And so it's been a work in progress of just figuring out. My sister and I were just talking about this yesterday, like the words spiritual versus religious, and
totally different things.
But for her, even the word spiritual is a trigger. So I said, you know, and I find her deeply spiritual. So I said, you know, spiritual can be you who can spot a deer across two fields and can see the beaver and can see the how the light comes through the trees and connects with nature and just gets, and is so grounded and peaceful to be with. That's who she is to me, right? And so it's this redefining constantly, and throwing out those descriptive words that no longer serve us, that are attached. So
I don't want to go into much of your mom, dad and all that, but the real, for the lack of a better term, perpetrator was your father. And your mother went along with this? I mean, you know, did she believe in the same doctrine and philosophy? Was she raised in this, or was she kind of transformed over the years?
So I would say now looking back, they were both the real perpetrator. Wow. Because she told on us, right? So So they weren't raised that way. They were raised they went to church, but they weren't raised like religious at all. They became born again while they were dating. And then I think they were both very insecure. Both, my father was given away when he was 7 years old to his aunt and uncle to raise him. And so my mom's mom was very abusive to her. So I think they were two insecure kids who were looking to belong. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of people that were attracted to this Bible school.
Are you able to forgive?
Oh yeah, I am.
Yeah?
I am.
Well, people always say forgiveness is for yourself. It's not for the other person. And I tell you, as smart as I think I am, it took me a long time to, you know, to grapple and hold to that concept that I am forgiving someone else to free myself. But it works, brains. It works.
It works. And it's work. It's not easy.
It is. It's ongoing work, because every time, like you said, every time you see this individual, every time you interact, it could be a smell, it could be a sound,
Yeah.
It could be something that shows up on the television. You are right back in that place again.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward. Here you are today, beautiful. Your cheeks are just as rosy. You look happy. You look content. Where are you at in your life right now, Kathy? Where are you at?
I'm renting a little apartment on a farm. Wow. I've written a course, and so I have the first group of ladies going through the course right now. They're going through mostly in exchange for feedback and for just testimonials and just for me to kind of flesh out how it's
a beta group. Mm-hmm.
We are starting the fourth week next week, and I'm just loving every minute of it. Like, I feel like it's just the most powerful course. And I say that because actually I'll just say, I was reading this book, and I was reading the chapter on Kuan Yin, who is the ascended master of compassion.
Mm.
And as I was reading it, and then I reread it, and I have come to understand she's been working in my life. I just felt I was reading her story, and I said, you know what? She has the path for healing in her story. Wow. And I started writing, and I wrote nonstop for pretty much, well, of course I slept. I wrote for 3 days though, and I wrote this course. And I feel like in many ways the course was given to me. Mm-hmm. It's been my healing journey, but she set the path and she made it, you know? And so it's just, I feel like it's a real brilliant, but I say that not because it's from, because I don't believe it's from me. I believe that it was given to me, and it's just such a beautiful unfolding of a path. So
I love how you say homage above, because you know that there is goodness above.
100%.
I was reading the Bible though about 4 or 5 days ago. I'm not gonna quote the scripture because I don't need y'all knowing everything in my head, but it was pretty scary and it was very fearful. And you should fear that. I think it was in Luke. I'll say it. But you should fear thy God, and fear and fear and fear. Well, you know, my God is a God of love and wisdom and understanding and compassion. And there is something to be feared. But I don't think it's of God. I think it's of man, our choices, mm-hmm. you know, and what we put ourselves through, what we don't identify with, what we don't take ownership with, what we subject and push off on other people.
Yeah.
I don't think it's God. And, you know, there was 13 books. And, you know, over the years, it was sliced and diced, and people took out whatever context they wanted to create this one, you know, one Bible. And then you get in all these different churches and all these different religions, and everybody's got their own interpretation. Of fire and brimstone, whatever they don't like. If it's not paying tithes, if it's homosexuality, if it's incest, whatever it is. Oh, everybody's got their own interpretation. Brains, read the book for your damn self. Number one, okay? Build a relationship to a God of your understanding and your wisdom. Because trust me, he'll beam down like Scotty, you know, and will tell you. But it's hard when you are a child. You have to do what your parents say. You've got to go to church. You've got to listen to them or be under their wrath. You're at this point now, and you've taken all this information, you've compiled it, and you're a poet. How have you been able to take these experiences and write such powerful poetic words? Hmm. That's a gift.
I wake up honestly with so much gratitude. And I feel like I just feel like the path just keeps unfolding. Like, I feel like the right information comes to me. Like, lately I've been like really aware of grief work and the need we have in our Western culture for grief work and how grief touches so many of us, whether even if it's just aging, the aging process.
Right.
Or menopause, or divorce, or our children, you know, I see some people like really find it difficult when their kids go off to university and leave home. Like, there's all different ways that we need to grieve. And when we don't grieve, it doesn't just go away. We carry it, right? And so I feel like, you know, that like, and that's, and then when that information comes to me, it's the perfect thing that I'm able to use to help minister. When I'm brave enough to speak and put something out on Facebook, and it hasn't been easy for me. Like I really have struggled with, what will my dad think? Like, it's really been, it's like, wow, like, I just wish he would pass away. I think this, I wish he would just pass away so I wouldn't be so afraid. And finally it's like, I've got to like start living here. Like, I can't keep, you know, because I traded the word God for universe at one point. And he had said to me, I believe you're involved in idol worship. And it was like, and it, you know what I mean? So it's just this, it's getting brave enough to speak up about what's coming to me. And then what I'm finding is it speaks to other people. Because I am just that human being with the same, you know.
But you're very spiritual, because again, there you go, using the terminology, when I minister.
Yeah.
You know, what I teach, spirituality. You are connected to source. And I'm so sorry that, you know, the God of love and wisdom and all understanding was given to you, you know, in a paper bag and mistreated and misunderstood. But there's still time, okay? And then when you meet the great one, or the great Shiro, you know, you're going to have a real heavy-duty conversation. And to whom much is given, Kathy, much is required. You know, everybody can't carry this load. They really can't. I have a grief recovery counselor that I'm working with, and a friend of mine, and he was locked in a closet for 3 years as a child, taken out to be sexually assaulted and abused, and then put right back in that closet. And then he went on to further his life, became a drug addict and alcohol. Went to jail, was gang raped by 5 men, was there for 5 hours and gang raped repeatedly. But who is he now? World renowned, grief recovery specialist, USC graduate nurse. And I asked him, I said, how in the world did you survive all of that? He said, you know what, April? He says, some people are born and made to suffer. And I thought that was too heavy to carry. I didn't understand it. And I got to thinking about it and thinking about it. And he's absolutely right. Some people are made to carry the load. And that's you, Kathy.
It becomes your message. Like,
there
has to be people that can carry that load, because that message has to be able to be out there. Hmm. Like, people need the people that can transform that into a message, or have the grace to have it transformed into a message, right?
There's another biblical term, grace. You're there. You're 100. Let me ask you like three really quick questions. Are you going to do a reading for us for some poetry?
No.
That's the next show, Brains. I'm going to get her really out of her show, because she got some powerful stuff. Really powerful stuff. Do you have children?
I do. Yeah.
And how many children do you have?
I have 2 boys of my own, and I have a stepdaughter.
Okay. Yeah. And so how's this worked out in translating God, religion, and your experience to them? Because, you know, there can be intergenerational trauma. There is intergenerational trauma. Your parents experienced that. So how do you stop that cycle and pour something different into your children?
Their father is Jewish. I married a Jewish person. So I raised them at first to be, I was like, you've got to be born again. Like, my older son, when he was 3, he remembers me pretty much sitting on top of him, trying to get him to say the sinner's prayer. I said, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry. But honestly, I said, Ben, if you could see through my eyes, the terror of what if Christ returns and one of your children isn't born again. Like, it was so real to me back then. So, they each have their own path now. My boys really respect, I think, the growth in me, and they just unconditionally love me. But I live the life. I don't speak it, like, not to them. I just live it.
Okay, so you married a Jewish man, which is very strict religious doctrine.
I've been divorced for 16 years. So,
what was that like, being born again and then being, you know, married to a Jew?
The interesting part for me, for him, like, the one conversation that stood out is, I remember we were at our cottage. we were bathing the boys, and he said something. We were having a conversation. He said, Kathy, do you really believe the Pope is going to go to hell? I remember this. Mm. And I said, of course, he's not born again. And he goes, Kathy, can you hear yourself? The Pope, you think he's going to go to hell? And like, it was just like a no-brainer for me. You know, if you're not born again, if you're Catholic, if you're anything but born again, you're going to hell. And he just kept saying it over, can you hear yourself? And I think that was one of the greatest gifts he gave me in the marriage, was that starting to crack this, you know, I only could see one way. It was how I was raised. And so just that, can you hear yourself? And it was gentle, actually, the way he said it. Like, and I think that was helpful for me. He wasn't religious, so we had a Christmas tree and all that. Oh, so wow. that was nice. Yeah. But
all right. So now here you are again at this place, and you're helping others. What would you say to a person that might be experiencing some of these traumas, maybe wanting to break free? I mean, there's a lot of churches, and I'm not going to call them out, but there's a lot of churches that are really into mind control, discipline, brainwashing. What would you say to a person that, you know, is hearing themselves for the first time? What do they do?
I think, it's a hard question, because I've come to know that, you know, the Christian would say the Holy Spirit is within you, but I've learned that your intuition is in you, and to listen, like to listen, right? And so I think I'd tell someone, like, if it's not feeling good inside, there's something wrong. Find the people that can help you. Like, we need community. We need community. Like, and I realize that sounds...
No, that you need
because support. The church is providing community.
Right, I'm not into a one-legged stool. You know? I'm not into a one-legged
stool. It's inside of us. I really do believe that when we get a sick stomach, there's something that doesn't add up when we're in it.
Absolutely. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, you know, because you are gentle and you can help them hear themselves. If nothing else, you're there to listen. Mm-hmm. And because you understand, because this is some heavy duty stuff. This is really intense. I don't know where I would be in this process. I'm not lying to you. I don't know how I would feel about God, because I think he's absolutely magnificent. I believe that he is a God of understanding and wisdom and compassion and love and flexibility and money.
Yeah.
And blessings and joy. But there's pain and sorrow, you know. And again, if you don't ever experience pain, you will never appreciate pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. Has to be the contrast.
Yeah.
So you can find me at my website is findingyourbeauty.ca. So just remember, I'm a Canadian, so it won't be .com, it'll be .ca.
Okay.
And then Kathy McPherson Coaching is on Facebook.
Grains, you know. Try. You know, me, I've experienced two or three different religions, and it all came back to one place, a place called love. You know? So I encourage you to get in contact with Kathy. I'm going to have all of her information here on the Edge with April Mahoney. I'd like for you to sign up and subscribe right now. Share this interview, because this is a great conversation. This is not just something that, you know, we just pulled out of thin air. This woman has walked the walk, talked the talk, and now she's wearing the t-shirt. Okay? I encourage you. I love you. I support you. You know, I'm a part of your tribe. If you need somebody and your best friend's not there, girl, hit me up. We can have a conversation.
Okay.
All right? And I'm going to change the subject. I'm going to change it to something good. Okay? We'll talk about poetry or something. Okay? I love you, and I thank you so much for being here on the Edge with me. Okay?
Thank you.
So sweet. My brains.